I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we want to pay tribute to the man who showed generations of children where the wild things are, author Maurice Sendak. He just passed away, and we want to tell you more about him in just a few minutes. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy advice. Today, though, since Mother's Day is coming up, we thought it would be fun to hear from people who have really earned their stripes in the parenting department. We are talking grandmothers. On the surface, being a grandma seems like a pretty easy gig. Visit your cute grandkids, let them stay up late, give them all the candy they want, and hand them right back. Of course, that's far from the whole truth for many grandparents now. Many are providing childcare or financial assistance, and a rising number of grandparents, more than 6 million now, have grandchildren who live with them full time, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. So with us today are four grandmothers. Barbara Graham is a grandmother of two. She's also editor of Eye of My Heart. That's a collection of essays about the pleasures and pains of being a grandparent. We talked with her earlier about that book. Also with us, Myra Patner. She is a grandmother of five. And we want to tell you the truth. It was her gentle nudge that led to this idea. She sent us a note saying, how about hearing from some more grandmothers? Also with us, Marita Golden. She is an award-winning essayist and author of more than 10 books. She's also a grandmother of three. And she was just a judge in the prestigious Penn Faulkner Award. Words talk about having it all and doing it all. And we hope to hear from another grandma who is raising her kid, her grandchildren full time. We'll see about that. Welcome, ladies, grandmothers. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Barbara Graham, I'm going to start with you. I just want to remind people about the essay you wrote for your own book, and you also collected the essays of other grandparents. What gave you that idea?
Well, as soon as I became a grandmother, I was flooded with feeling, flooded with love, overwhelmed. I knew I would love this little being, but I didn't know that I would be like a teenager with her first crush. And as a writer, the way I make sense of life and the way I make sense of the world is to write about it. So, and I also started talking to lots of other grandmothers, and everybody has a story who is a grandparent. So that was really what triggered it.
Mari, I want to also say thank you for your very nice note. A very direct note, though, saying that, you know, people pay lip service to the wisdom of grandparents, but then they ignore what they have to say. And I just wondered, you know, do you think that's ageism, or is there something else to that, you think?
You know, I've pondered that, and I have not come up with an answer to it. Maybe Barbara can help me come up with an answer, because I'm sure you've thought about that, too. I don't know. I don't really know why, and I don't know if it's just because of this is the world we're living in now, a world of youth and high energy where people don't get sick. I mean, let's face it, as a grandmother, you're not in a number one young shape that you were when you were having babies in your 20s. Your knee has to be replaced. You're this, you're that. I mean, you have to go to doctors. It almost becomes a half-time job to take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself.
So I don't know whether that idea is secretly in the back of people's minds. I don't know. Barbara, what do you think?
Well, I would also say that when you become a grandparent, the metaphor I like to use is that you go from being a member, this is baseball, of the starting lineup to it's like being a relief pitcher on the bench. And what you have to realize, and it takes some realization, is that you're not in charge anymore. The parents are in charge.
Yeah.
And at once, as we had to find our own way as parents, we have to allow our children to find their own way too. And I think an interesting piece these days is the internet. The amount of information available to new parents on the internet, they can find out everything they want by just clicking
and
on the mouse.
Don't have to ask you. Maria, you know,
that's an interesting point.
It is an interesting point, but get ready, because I'm going to ask you to lay some grandma wisdom on us anyway. So you know, get ready for that. So this is your shot. Make sure you don't miss it. Marita Golden, I wanted to ask you, I'm so glad you were able to join us. And congratulations also on all your many, many awards. Do you feel, as an African-American, though, you know, African-American grandmothers are kind of have a storied place, both in the culture and in the literature? Not just African-Americans, a lot of other cultures do, too. But do you feel, I don't know, a little extra pressure to be the perfect grandma, to live up to that image that many people have, or what role you should play in your family?
Well, I think that because I think all African-American families, no matter their economic or sociological status, are under a different kind of pressure than other families in this country, and are off. The pressure is often subliminal. It's overt. It's covert. And I think as a grandmother, I feel very responsible about schooling my grandchildren, who are actually my step-grandchildren, about the world that they are a part of. So, for example, when my 17-year-old granddaughter graduates from high school this June, as she will, and then heads off to historically black college, you know, I'm going to talk to her about, you know, leadership and carrying on some of the work that I've tried to do, and her role as a young African-American woman in the African-American community. So as a grandmother, I'm going to have conversations with her that maybe, quite frankly, her mother doesn't have time for. Her mother's got three children. She's working. She's juggling a lot of things. And that's the kind of role that my husband and I find ourselves in, having these conversations with our grandchildren that, quite frankly, you know, the parents sometimes don't have time to have, because we have that long view of life.
And, yeah, passing on heritage.
Exactly.
Jacqueline Laird, though, you are, as we mentioned earlier, doing your second tour of duty in the parenting, the primary parenting role. You're the full-time caregiver for three of your grandchildren. You have 12 overall. I just wanted to ask how the second time around, and I understand that the circumstances that led you to this place were not the happiest ones, so I want to acknowledge that. But the second time around, do you feel more confident in some ways, or do you feel perhaps less so, perhaps less isolated, a little more scared?
It's definitely much more frightening. I think comparatively there are many, many, many more dangers out there, as is expressed with the internet, you know. And I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I used to doubt the wisdom of raising our children when we were so young. And I thought, why don't we wait till we're older and wiser? Oh, boy. Don't question the way things are, because you don't know. I'm telling you. It's really hard. And it's really hard also the fact that you're a mother, and then you're a grandmother, and then you're a great-grandmother. Well, unfortunately, with these children, I don't get the grand part. That's been taken away.
Is the hardest part the financial piece, the financial pressure? Is it the physical toll? I mean, because Myra was talking about that. The fact is, you know, you are in a different place physically than you would have been, you know, 20 years ago. Which is the hardest for you, if you don't mind my telling us?
I think that if I won the lottery and had all the money in the world, it would still be very, very frightening. So I probably would have to say the hardest part is the emotional part, the frightening part. Just because you did it once doesn't mean you know what you're doing. Trust me. Trust me. And I hope that I'm not going to have to do this till I get it right, because I'm really scared.
We're having our weekly parenting conversation. We decided, for in honor of Mother's Day, to go to those who really earned their stripes. We're having a roundtable of grandmothers. We're talking with Jacqueline Laird. That's who was speaking just now. She's a grandmother of 12. She truly wears the crown, including three who live with her. Also with us, Barbara Graham, editor of Eye of My Heart, a collection of essays about grandmothers from grandmothers. She has two grandchildren. Myra Patner is a grandmother of 5 and wrote us a very nice note saying, how come we don't hear from more grandmas? And also the award-winning author Marita Golden. And on the upside, Marita, you were telling us that and you've actually written about the fact that your being a grandmother has some ways smoothed relationships with your adult stepdaughter. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, thanks to my stepdaughter, because we have a blended family, I'm the grandmother of 3, and they range in age from a year and a half to 17. And so, you know, this whole thing of being a stepmother is very dicey. And you're going to be the greatest stepmother in the world, and then when there's a little resistance, you know, it doesn't quite work out. But when my stepdaughter had her second child, there was a lot of, you know, sort of difficulty with the birth, and it was an early birth. And during the time when my grandson was in the incubator, there was a moment when we were alone in the hospital room, and I shared with her, because she was very fearful about what would happen, and there was a lot of fear and anxiety, and I shared with her my own experience of of losing a child. And so I knew what that was like. I had had a premature birth that unfortunately, you know, the infant died. But I shared with her all the pain, the grief that I felt, and just shared with her that I knew what she was going through. Mm. And even though it did not seem at all that that was going to be the prognosis for Vaughn, she was afraid that it would be, and she just didn't know what to do with all these feelings. And I think that it was very comforting for her to know, as a stepmother who we'd had some challenges in our relationship, that I could access her feelings at that moment.
Sure.
And that sort of opened up a space where, from that point on, there was a little more intimacy. And these grandchildren, I think, are these wonderful sort of beings that come into our lives, and they have a mission. And that mission is to open our hearts if we will let them. I mean, as Barbara was saying earlier, that you turn into this person who has a crush on, you know, like I have a crush now on my year and a half old granddaughter, and you just turn into silly putty. It's quite wonderful.
Well, Myra, you also have mentioned that you've had some not always the easiest time, but give us we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to hear from the group if we can. What's your best bit of grandma advice?
Well, the hardest thing for me is to keep my mouth shut. I'm a blurter, and I have to keep my mouth shut, and I have to not say it, and I want to say it, and if I say it, I get in trouble, and then I have to retract it, and so I'm trying not to say it. That's the hardest thing for me.
You can tell me. You can give me any. Here's the event. I'm old enough that I'm too old to rebel. You can tell me anything that I'm doing wrong. I'm happy to hear it. Barbara, what about you? You've done a deep study of your own life as a grandma, and you've talked to all these other grandmothers about their experience. What's your best bit of grandma advice?
I would say curb your expectations, but not your enthusiasm. Life throws a lot of punches your way. I was a local grandmother in the beginning, and then my kids moved overseas, and they had the nerve to kidnap their baby and take her with her. And
that wasn't there.
Out of my neighborhood. So really, it's you're not in charge anymore. So you have to kind of bow to the parents, figure out how to be in their lives, in the kids' lives. If you're a long-distance grandparent, sometimes it's a little bit different if you're the mother of the father versus the mother of the mother.
Yes.
There are all kinds of issues. And then, especially in this world of blended families, there might be three or four grandmothers in the same family, and it can arouse feelings of junior high school flashback competition. But really, you know, the heart is a very generous muscle. And so you need to trust and believe that you will find your place and just enjoy. I mean, there is enough love to go around.
Yes. You're going to make me cry. That would not be pretty. Jackie, I'm going to ask you to give you the final word. We only have a minute left. I apologize. What would make your life better as grandma doing the second tour of duty? Is it recognizing your role? Is it having people recognize? What do you? I know it's a tough question to answer in a minute, but what would be better?
Oh, boy. Just always, always tell them you love them. Always, always tell them you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it through once. I can do this again. I can do this. I am old, but I'm tough.
Yeah, yeah. That is true. We're tough.
You've got the collective good wishes of all of your folks here. And can I say, just on behalf of all children everywhere, thank you for your service. And happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. Barbara Graham, grandmom of two, editor of Eye of My Heart, a collection of essays about the pleasures and perils of being a grandparent. Myra Patner, grandmother of five, very kind enough to join us in our GC. Thank you for your note. Do come back and see us.
Thank you for listening.
Jacqueline Laird is the grandmother of 12, including three who live with us. She was with us from Station KPFK in North Hollywood, California. And Marita Golden, an award-winning author, grandmother of three, with us on the line from her home office in Maryland. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.